As I walked in to the media room at Bonaventure last Sunday, getting ready for the Sunday afternoon service there, I could tell right away that something was wrong. People were looking down, they were in tears, and these were not just Kansas City fans. Just saying, this is before the Super Bowl. But something was off. And so I thought to myself, what's up? And after talking a little bit, they said, well, last night Shannon died. And so we took a few moments to talk about how difficult it is sometimes being in a place like an assisted living community, and how difficult it is getting older, where people you know, people your age, pass away. But we also took some time to talk about how great it is that there is a community of believers in a place like that, so that when someone dies, a whole room cries. Friends, when you die, and you will, and so will I want there to be people in your life who cry. That's what we're going to be talking about today. This one of these things, and I should point out, I changed the name in the story just for. Because to the best of my knowledge, I haven't seen the death notice in the newspaper yet, so I don't know if the actual news of the actual person. But every other part of that story is true, every other part. One of the best things about being in a local church is illustrated in that story, that when we are a part of a local church, we are connected to other believers. We are part of the body of Christ together. Now, it's the body of Christ is not the only metaphor in the New Testament for the church. We just sang about the other major metaphor, this idea of I'm a child of God. We're part of the family of God together. But the body of Christ is nonetheless the most developed metaphor in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul spends an enormous amount of time on this idea that, you know, you're not just part of the machinery of Jesus. You're not part of the Jesus factory. You're part of Jesus's body. So we've talked about what it means to be embodied. Jesus was embodied. God could have chosen all sorts of different ways to redeem and save the world. But in order to redeem and save us, he became embodied. And together, we have all have been baptized in Christ Jesus and have received the Spirit of Christ. Everyone who has submitted their life to Christ, who has asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior and leader and guide in their life, has received the Holy Spirit. And there's something new living inside you that changes you, changes me, changes us from the inside out, and it makes us part of this larger community. You are part of the body of Christ. It is not optional, though some of us find ourselves in places and at times almost believing that it is, or believing that we're not really and truly connected. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Corinth about. This, I really love the book of 1 Corinthians because it is about a very dysfunctional church in a very dysfunctional society that's got all these kind of screwy values about community and sexuality and all this stuff. And so all the Bible is true and relevant. This passage and these and this like book of the Bible is especially relevant. Amen? So today, we're gonna be looking at this metaphor of the body of Christ. We've been journeying, taking a bit of a slow journey through 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, next week, we're gonna jump to the earlier part of the chapter, and we're gonna start looking at the spiritual gifts. So that's gonna be exciting. I hope you're back for that and be thinking about what are your spiritual gifts and how can you know what your spiritual gifts are. But before we dive into that part of things, I want to lay this foundation of just understanding who we are in Christ together. We are connected to one another. We are the body of Christ. And last week, we talked about how sometimes because we're different from one another, we can be tempted to compare ourselves to one another. It's really easy to do that. Or we like to just hang out with the people who are just like us, thinking that we have nothing in common with the people who are different from us. Well, today we're going to look at this next part and of what it means to be the body of Christ together. We're going to start in verse 21. So if you've got your Bibles out, and I hope you do, chapter 12, we're going to read verses 21 through 24 together and talk about this, because this is actually one of the best parts about being part of a local church. And quite frankly, this is actually one of the things that for Columbia Grove, I think we do really, really well. Now, I realize as a pastor, I'm supposed to kind of tell you off from time to time. Today, I'm not going to do that. We're just going to kind of celebrate like this thing that happens when we recognize that we are the body of Christ together. All right, so you got your Bibles open? You know, your digital Bibles, they count too. They're fine. You can use your phone. So that's all right. All right, so let's take a look. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21. We'll read through 24 at first. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. So it starts off with this phrase, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. If you came with somebody, let's just try this out. Or if you're sitting next to someone, and we're going to take a little risk here. Sitting next to someone, look at them and give them the most sarcastic, silly look on your face as you can. Ladies, we're going to say something really sarcastic to one another. All right, I want you to look that person in the eye and say, I don't need you. Just try that. I don't need you. Just look at them, make googly eyes. Yeah, well done. And doesn't that just sound ridiculous coming out of your mouth? It just sounds crazy. It just sounds nuts. Hopefully that doesn't happen. That's right. You can look at the pilot, Morgan, and you can say, I don't need you.
I don't need you.
Listen. There you go. Right. Exactly. Exactly. When it comes out of our mouths, it just sounds ridiculous. And yet there are times, and if I can be honest here, there's times I struggle with this. You think, well, maybe I'm better off on my own. We live in a culture that encourages that. It's so weird. We have got like unbelievable communication technology in your pocket even. And thanks to the algorithms, thanks to all the different ways that we can cocoon, we have more capacity to connect with the world around us. And many times, we actually use it to isolate ourselves from the world around us. I don't need you. Sounds ridiculous coming out of my mouth too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And yet we are the body of Christ. We have all these differences. The different parts are all different. Some parts are more sensitive than others, more fragile than others. Some parts, in verse 25, Paul uses the phrase, we want to have equal concern for all the parts, but equal concern does not necessarily mean equal treatment. There's parts that need special care and protection. Let me give you an example. He talks about some of the parts that are unpresentable or in special what's he talking about there? I've got an illustration for you. Here's the illustration. You ready for it? Right here. You got Speedo parts. Let's call them Speedo parts. Parts that when you go swimming, if you wear a Speedo, it's covered by the Speedo. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you, every person in the room and probably every person online, though I have no way of knowing. Right now, you are honoring your Speedo parts. And we are grateful for that. And every part matters. Every part matters. So there are times when we need to, out of equal concern for one another, we don't always treat every person exactly the same. Or every situation exactly the same. I saw a really beautiful example of this in a documentary I watched a few months back. Some of you might remember that he was a pretty prominent Christian singer in the 90s and early 2000s. Russ Taff, you familiar with him? One of the best singers I've heard. There's a documentary called I Still Believe. And I recommend it. It's very honest, so this isn't necessarily something you watch with your young kids. But part of Russ Taff's story, and you can take the thing down, but thank you. Part of Russ Taff's story is a really long struggle with alcoholism. And he's super honest in the documentary. It's a beautiful story of recovery and redemption. But there's a part of the story that I thought was especially powerful. So he's getting ready for this big, big, prestigious concert, going to be televised. And it's him, and there's about another 10 Christian artists. They're all getting ready to present. It's a big thing. And as the concert begins, and all of them are supposed to sing their part of a song, and there are these solos, as he comes out, it is very obvious that he is very, very inebriated. And so the documentary talks about like what was going on in the minds of the friends in that moment. And if you know what you're watching for, as you watch this clip, you actually see these other Christian artists gather around him, and they kind of move him into the back line. And different people step forward and they do his solos and they sing parts of the song. Because they knew that this moment for him, if they had just left him to his own devices, this would have been absolutely career-ending for him. This was televised. It would be, sometimes the church is mean to its own. Let's be honest. It would have destroyed him. Now you might wonder, so why are they doing this cover-up? Well, it was after the concert is over, and if you were watching or you're watching it on television, you may not have even noticed it, other than, wow, Russ didn't get much mic time. It was after that those same people that had come around him to guard him, to protect him, to keep him from public humiliation, then were able to confront him and say, Russ, you've got a problem. And that was the moment that he went into treatment. And that's the moment that his journey towards freedom and sobriety began. A great example of friendship. There are parts sometimes that need special treatment, that need special care. But let's continue reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 24 through 26. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that its parts may have equal concern. That's the idea. Equal concern for one another. That doesn't mean we treat everybody the same in every situation, but equal concern for one another. And then we get down to the core of it. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. As I mentioned earlier, I know as a pastor, I'm probably supposed to wag my finger a little bit and say, hey, y'all, let's do that more. You got to do that more. But here's the thing. I actually think this is one of Columbia Grove's greatest strengths. Now, I don't know what the Apostle Paul would write to us if he wrote this letter, or if Jesus was to show up and preach a sermon, although, man, that'd be cool. If we got to this topic, I think there's a pretty good chance he would say, Columbia Grove, you're doing a pretty good job of this. I know that from my own experience. In the last 5 years, I guess it'd be a bit more than five now. We've gone through some major losses. You know, I had a loss of my mother-in-law when she passed away, when my father-in-law passed away, or even about 4 years ago, my dad had a really significant health scare. And there's moments where you just have to drop everything and be somewhere and do something and be part of something. And I gotta tell you, church, it's moments like that that you see just what can happen in the body of Christ. I mean, we had everything from people that helped out with kids' care to groceries to vehicle swaps. I mean, all sorts of things to just make it possible. Now, going through those things, they stink. They're horrible. Loss, grief, it's horrible. But when you are part of a local church, when you're part of a healthy local church, you don't go through it alone. And that can change everything. And I've seen you show up for one another. Sometimes in really, really dramatic ways. Now, I got to put a little plug in here for connection groups. This generally happens through those connection groups, through those organic connections. We really aren't, you know, a local church, and even in its strength, it's not really a bureaucracy. It's not like you get assigned a number and then, you know, we dispatch people. I call somebody up and say, hey, it's time for you to go love somebody. Like, that's not how it works. Nor would you listen to me if I told you to do that. I kind of know this. But what I do know is that when you already know one another, you're there for one another. Meals, rides, vehicles, house, so many different things. And if you've been part of a local church for a while, and this is, to a certain degree, this is my experience as well. I've been part of a local church for a long time. You can kind of take it for granted a little bit. Like, oh yeah, you know, when bad things happen, people just show up. It's really cool. But I want you to think about this today, especially if you've been part of this church for a while or part of a healthy local church for some time. Can you imagine what it would be like going through that stuff without that kind of community? Can you imagine? Yeah, you can. Thanks, Morgan. Yeah. And so as we do think about this, and I'll give them a chance in just a moment or two for some of you to share some of your own stories of how you've seen this principle of the body of Christ in action. Because I know there are dozens and dozens and dozens of stories of this in the room right now. But as we think about it, you know, I don't think this is something that God is necessarily calling us to do more of other than this. That he's calling us to do that for more people. So before we share some stories, I want to lead us in just a little prayer exercise, okay? Look around you and see if you can locate any empty chairs. Yeah, and I know attendance is down a little bit because of the snow and all that stuff. Because I want us to take a moment to and invite you and me and us to pray for the empty chairs around you. Because this is we live in a culture where loneliness is now considered an epidemic. There are countries that have ministers of loneliness because people feel so isolated. And when we are walking in the Spirit, when we are following Jesus, when we recognize how we are the body of Christ together, corporately, we, the church, the body of Christ, is one of the greatest answers to that problem. Amen?
Amen.
When a local church is healthy, we rejoice together and we grieve together. We hurt together. We are there for one another. That's who we are. And when you've gotten used to it, it might seem like it's no big deal. And many of you, you do it so instinctively, it feels like it is no big deal. But you need to know, my dear friends, it is a big deal to be there for one another. So I have a feeling that you all can finish this message better than I can. So if there is a story that you can tell of a time that you were celebrating something and that celebration was made sweeter because there were other friends in Christ and believers that celebrated with you, or you were going through something really difficult and that heavy load was made a little bit lighter because somebody came alongside and cared for you. I'd like to hear some of those stories. I think we can encourage one another with those stories. Who's got a story to share? Okay, see, I knew there's going to be arms everywhere. All right. How have you seen this lived out, Sandy?
Well, last summer.
Can we turn the microphone on, please? Thank you.
Last summer, we were warned that there was a fire uphill from us, and we got the message on our phone, get out now. So we put our cat in the car. We didn't know where we were going, but we left our house. And a few minutes later, Susan Letts called us and said, come to our house, stay as long as you need to. I said, we have a cat. She said, bring a cat, we'll put the dog in the garage. So anyway, we didn't have to stay overnight, but they were ready for us.
That's right, that's right. Josh, have you seen this lived out?
24 years ago, when my biological mom passed away, my home church came together and celebrated not just her death, but praise that she went up to go see Jesus.
Yeah,
and we're still sad about that.
But yeah, when you go through times of grief, like having a local church around you can make all the difference. Let's hear a few more stories. How have you seen this lived out? Nicole?
I'm going to do my best not to cry. But when I lost my grandma, when I was about 20, and this one here was only 3, so, you know, poor, struggling. I lived about 45 minutes outside of Omaha, Nebraska, in a tiny town, and my car was broke down, and I got the call saying my grandma was on her way out, and I didn't know what I was gonna do. And a lovely lady in my church stepped up and drove me to the hospital so I could spend those last few moments with her.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, my grandma got buried in California, and I didn't know how I was going to get a plane ticket. Yeah. I didn't know where I was going to stay, and the church stepped up and helped me with all of it, and the ladies... Yeah. Got a group together and made me a prayer shawl that I literally held on to until I felt like I didn't need it anymore. And technically, I still have it. It's on the back of my bed.
Yeah.
I'll never get rid of it. But just my church family stepping up and supporting me during that time was amazing and beautiful. Yeah. And I appreciated all of it.
Yeah, it is a big, big deal. Let's hear one more story. Okay, well, I'm going to, I know something about this story.
The Holy Spirit sounded a lot like my wife nagging at me to say this story. So, some of you may or may not know, but I spent quite a bit of time in the cardiac ICU at UW before my heart transplant in 2021, and that was a really hard time, not just because of what I was going through, but it was COVID. Our daughter Savannah was young. Our middle child Cassidy was 2 months, and so while I got to hang out at the hotel UW, Brittany was doing everything she could to be my caretaker and take caretaker of our children. And I'm going to leave some people out because, to be honest, I was on a lot of drugs and don't remember a lot of it. But Andrew showed up, Mark showed up, Ann showed up to just give Brittany reprieves. My own boss showed up for a couple of different days, and people just reached out and always were messaging me. And then when I finally got that second chance at life and that transplant and came home, and we came to the church, and I don't know how many people were out there. I still have the banner that everyone in this church family made me and just lifted me up in times that were really, really tough, and celebrated with all of those milestones that we have. And so with not having a lot of family here, it was just amazing to have a church family.
Yeah. That's right, man. So I'd like us to take some time as we close to thank God for those people that have been there with you, for you, in those times, those hard times. And I'd like us to take some time to pray for the empty chairs. Not because the chairs themselves are all that important, but because of what they represent. Is that there is a world that is desperate for that kind of support, that kind of community. And by the Holy Spirit living in us, working through us, ultimately Jesus, but Jesus living in us is the solution to that massive, massive problem. So if you're able, I invite us to stand. And I'd like us to pray together. If there's an empty chair close to you, and today, actually, pretty much everyone, you can find an empty chair close by. Put a hand on that empty chair. Because we're going to remember how we are the body of Christ together, how we can celebrate with one another, how we can grieve with one another and hurt with one another, and remember that there are many, many people who do not yet experience what many of us have. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have created us to be something that is so much larger, so much greater than any one of us, that by your Spirit moving in our midst, moving in our hearts, you, Lord, make us to be the body of Christ, together with believers all across the globe, all throughout time and history. We are the body of Christ together. And Lord, we thank you for the ways that we have experienced that interconnection, that care in our lives. Thank you for the people that showed up when we were in times of pain, that showed up when we were celebrating that good news in life. Thank you, Lord, that we never go through those things alone. And friends, I just invite you, under your breath, if there's particular people that come to mind, maybe that's folks from your connection group or that friend or that neighbor across the street, let's take just a moment take just a moment to thank God for them. Just whisper their name before the Lord as an act of praise. So Lord, we thank you for people like this that showed up for us. And Lord, we pray this morning for those who have not yet experienced that kind of community. For the people on our streets, the people in our cities and in our neighborhoods, who too often feel alone, isolated. And so Lord, as we put our hands on empty chairs around us, Lord, we pray that you would use us to be your hands and feet to demonstrate your care and concern to the people around us. Lord, we pray, well, we thank you that these chairs are increasingly being filled week to week, but Lord, we look forward to the day when every chair here is full and even more for what that represents. Lord, help us to love like Jesus. To one another and to a world that is in desperate need of experiencing your love. So use us, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I invite you to stay standing. We're going to sing a song. And the reason why we're singing this particular one is this is the song of blessing. We've sung it a few times. It's fairly well known. But as we sing it, this is one where, I mean, you maybe look at the words on the screen if you want, and that's good. But what I hope will really happen is that we are just singing this to one another. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you.